The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Happy Friday. Welcome to another award-winning K4 wins right here on the Coastal Digital Sports Network and on Tony Curry Radio. Lots to get into. MVPs went out last night. Ohtani for the National League. Aaron Judge for the American League. We're going to find out if our man up there in the upper left-hand corner who loves his futures, if he had anything on either one of those guys. We'll get into it next. Bama loses last night. A really tough odd game, but a great game against Purdue, number two, against number seven or eight, depending on who you're looking at. Of course, New England gets it done with eight games in a row now. The New England Patriots have won their games. They're probably one of the best teams in the National Football League. We've got a lot to get into coming in with the National Football League and, of course, our SEC talk. Gentlemen, good morning to you. How we do so far this week here on this Friday? It's November 14th. Kai, how are we looking for the week?
last week, 39-17. 104-74 last month. Last weekend, 26-6. And this week, since the podcast, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we have not played that many games, just a simple 4-3. So still up money, but we just hadn't played a lot because we hadn't had a lot of picks everybody loved.
And I know people, I know gamblers, sometimes they hate that. I know the more games they play, the more they love, but it's also the more juice you're paying when you lose. But man, sometimes it's nice not to have like 15 games every single day. We got a Saturday going on tomorrow. Obviously, games going on tonight, a full sledge. Great weekend of NFL football to get into as well. So we're going to jump all over it. Of course, we'll have our best bets. And of course, from our show, the starting lineup, we'll also have our bankroll going up as well. He's Kip Kiefer right below me, the executive director of Birmingham Racecourse, up in my upper left-hand corner. This is Case Kiefer, executive director, chief editor of the Las Vegas Sun, and Kai Gregory, who, of course, has been handicapping now for nearly in his fourth decade. I'm Tony Curry, worked at ESPN as well as sports radio with Alec Greco, Jay Barker in the opening drive as well. Let's jump right into it, guys. First question is, Kai, you mentioned in our contest this weekend as our play, we have $150 to play. You can pick three games, two games, one game. You can do a parlay with it, whatever. You took all your $150 and took Alabama's team total over 13.5 in the first half. But you said, but I do love Tennessee's over in the first half of their game against New Mexico. Tell me why you took the first and why you didn't take the second.
What's New Mexico State?
Yes.
State. Yeah, that's a big distinction.
Alabama and Tennessee both start fast and play better at home, especially in the first half. Josh Heupel is coming off, some rough games. Offense is not done what they should, even though New Mexico State's got the, top 50 defense. I think they're 52nd, actually, so that's not that big a deal. Heupel needs to produce, if you will, and I don't think Tennessee's been under 30, which I probably just jinxed it, but under 30 in a first half this year at home, except against Oklahoma. I mean, hell, they put up that much against Georgia. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Georgia's defense, a little bit better than New Mexico State. Heupel knows what he's doing. He knows how to script out the first quarter, for sure. I really like the first quarter over also. Alabama, 13.5. If Alabama is not over that total, then they're in trouble. If they're not over 13.5 in the first half, they're in trouble against that Oklahoma team, in my opinion. I know Alabama doesn't have a great running game right now, everybody thinks. But if Jam Miller can get off, it doesn't really matter. And I think Ty Simpson's hot enough with the wide receivers. I see them scoring. And I think – I'm not there with Mateer right now. I just don't think he's back to the form that he was there. And I can see Alabama's defense scoring as well.
Yeah, and as we said earlier this week, I think Mateer just had a great opportunity where he was throwing lights out early in the season, looked really good, but no one else was really doing anything. And I think his name kind of floated the top of the Heisman Trophy thing, and I don't think he's a Heisman Trophy guy. I'm not saying he's not a good quarterback, but he's been banged up. The hand's been banged up, and I kind of agree with you right there. So I'm interested to see and set my eyeballs on him in person coming up tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night. It's going to be really good. Futures in Major League Baseball, did you have Ohtani or Judge? And if you did, was there any good price you got on it, Case?
It still kind of feels hollow because it's Ohtani and he was always the favorite. But I did have Ohtani and I probably got the best price in the world on him just because I can't imagine there was better. He kind of slumped. I think it might have been like the second month of the season. He got out to plus 250. And I bet the most they would let me bet on him at plus 250. So it was a nice return. Awards, I did not have Aaron Judge. I tried to beat him from early in the season, not even with Cal Riley either. I had Bobby Witt was my main guy. So slight winning award season, just barely. I mean, I really thought I was going to take a bath. I thought I was going to have second in like every single award. But on Monday night, Drake Baldwin was the surprise winner of Rookie of the Year, who I had at 50-1 in the National League. So that really that saved me big time. But other than that, a lot of second places. I had Garrett Crochet big in the AL. And I mean, by some of the statistical models, some people think he probably deserved it over Scoobel, but he ultimately doesn't get there. They were both great. I don't really have a problem with Scoobel winning it. Then the NL Cy Young really it comes with the territory, but Skeens was just so low all year that I felt like there was nothing you could do but try to beat him. And I ended up betting the second, third, and fourth place finishers. So they're pretty bad to see the voting there. But yes, slight win between Ohtani and Drake Baldwin, but I'll look to do better next year. I think if you broke down like the hourly rate on how much time I spent on it, and for the ROI, it probably wasn't worth it, but still nice to get one in the bag last night.
Yeah, your all-star starting pitcher, I think he was 2-7, I think it was, when he started that game.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Like, wow, unbelievable. Yeah, his ERA was just fantastic. And there's Kip Kiefer, who loves talking about the Big Ten. We always kid about this, but let's be honest with you. You do your homework. You know everything there is about college football. And this past week here on our show in the starting lineup, you actually picked a Big Ten game as one of your money roll games. I want to know why you picked. You looked at the Northwestern game in Michigan of all teams, and you sit there and you boo on the Big Ten. But I know what you know what you're talking about. Why'd you pick that game?
Michigan's a fraud. They barely beat Purdue 2 weeks ago. They're always in the ratings, no matter what they have, who they have. If they hadn't gotten Justice Haynes from Alabama, they probably would be down there wallowing around with Penn State and the fellas. I just don't have any respect for Michigan at all, and I don't understand. I'm a victim of watching and being not able to sleep. So I actually wasted 2.5 hours of my life last Friday watching Northwestern and USC in the Coliseum. And Northwestern for two quarters played them toe-to-toe. You know, really kind of impressed me. I Case has been saying Northwestern doesn't belong in my, kind of sent to the basement Big Ten teams. And I really kind of liked what I saw. I know earlier this year they were a contributor to exposing the biggest fraud in the country this year, Penn State. They beat them outright. I just can't understand how they were catching 12.5 points all week. Now I notice it's gone down to 10.5 because obviously the Kip Kiefer influence has already gotten out. But Northwestern plays on some kind of renovated stadium, kind of rickety situation. Michigan coming in there. I just don't think I don't understand how Michigan's a double-digit favorite against anybody. I just don't think they're that good.
Let's look at some line movers, Case. We've had some big ones this past week. And that first one, of course, is the 11 o'clock game on ABC 33-40 right after our starting lineup show. Notre Dame and Pittsburgh, a pair of 7-2 teams, kind of going in the same direction. Pitt's a good team. Notre Dame obviously has rolled off 7 games in a row. And right now they're odds on one of the best teams in college football to win a national title. They just got to get in. And right now that lines up to 13 in some places, open up around 10.5, I guess. I saw 11.5 earlier in the week, 12.5, and now I just saw 13. Your thoughts on Notre Dame and Pitt to kick off the college football season tomorrow?
Yeah, some of these books have limits raised on Fridays, and I guess it's late enough where you guys are on the East Coast where people can get some bigger bets down. So I hadn't even seen that till right now up to Vegas, we have 113, mostly 12.5. It's been a good week of market movement for me, so hopefully you were listening Tuesday. I said I love Notre Dame at 10.5. I think it's another good matchup for them. Granted, you could probably guess that because I've liked Notre Dame every week. But, of course, that's where game day is. A lot of discussion on this game. So glad to see it's moving in the right direction. And just the way Notre Dame's taken so much late money this year, I wouldn't be surprised if it closes like 14. I would probably tread lightly now. We're getting to about where I thought it should be. But if you still really want some action on it, I think do it now. Don't wait until it's 14. I do think 14 is kind of key in a game like this.
We've gotten a ton of talk out of the SEC and obviously a monster game with Texas and Georgia coming up on Saturday night. And I saw something interesting through their RPI, I guess their ESPN, so take it for what it's worth. If Texas loses this game against Georgia, they'll have 3 losses, but they'll still have a 32% chance at making the playoffs. So I don't know what that says about Texas and their schedule. They're catching 6, Kip. I just see you nodding your head down there, but that line stick put.
How can they make the playoffs with 3 losses? What have they accomplished this year? Somebody please enlighten me.
Well, I don't, 32% sounds high, but I feel like they do have a really good setup where if they lose this game, they still get Texas A&M. And if they won that,
yeah,
I
well, mean, if yeah. they beat them and Texas A&M's one or two, then that's a different story.
Obviously, they have to win out. If they lose this game, they have to win out in order to get that 32%. I'm assuming.
Yeah, but I just don't think this is one of the best teams in the country. I just don't see it. And maybe I'm blinded by, because I don't have.
What would you
pre-existing Texas bias, but how would you feel?
Yeah, how would you feel if Texas did win this game on the road to Georgia? Would it change your mind a little bit?
I'd be absolutely shocked based on everything I've seen. Georgia's won 35 out of 36 at home. They did lose to Alabama, but you know my feelings on that. Kirby Smart should have tied the game and tried to win it in the last 6 minutes. He got a surge of machoism and tried to go for it on fourth and one where it wasn't necessary. They trailed the whole game. They had the game under control in the second half, and he didn't tie it up. And we know the rest of the story there. But I mean that Alabama played a great game on the road, got off to a good start, and beat them. But I don't think that's that terrible of a black mark on Georgia's record. Georgia's been unbeatable at home for 3.5-4 years, and now Texas comes in, a team that. You know, I use the example on Tuesday, if anybody missed the show, we have a sample size of 2 straight weeks, well, a 2 week period actually in Starkville, Mississippi, where Mississippi State scored 38 points on this defense in the first 3 quarters. It was 38-21 after 3 quarters. Texas did come back, mainly on the strength of a stupid decision by Mississippi State to kick to the most electrifying player on the field. Niblett, he took it back 79 yards with just a couple of minutes left to tie that game. But Georgia went in there and took control of that game right away, blew Mississippi State out, could have beaten them a lot worse, but they called off the dogs in the third period, in the third quarter, when they went up 38-7. The games were just night and day different, and they were only 2 weeks apart on the same field. So I know you don't go, well, so-and-so beat so-and-so, and so-and-so did this against. But these games were sample sizes in the same petri dish within a couple of weeks of each other. And I just think Georgia right now is surging every week. They're making big strides to improvement. And I just don't think this Texas team has a running game. Georgia has stopped the run all year. That means Arch Manning has to win this game. And I don't think Arch Manning is a primetime player at this point.
Texas, Georgia, where'd you put the line at, Case?
I put it at 6, so I've been totally I've tried to look more. I've looked more into it. I've tried to have a stronger feelings. I did a couple other shows this week. I knew they were going to ask me about it, but I just don't have a great sense for it. I do think that, you know, I guess where Kip and I diverge is I don't put a whole lot of stock into what they've done 35 of the last 36. As good as Georgia's been, and I said they've improved a lot. They've impressed me this year. I don't think what they have this year, what they had like the championship years. Yeah. And I also, I'm not saying one way or the other. I can't decide, but I think we were too quick to crown Arch Manning. That's 100% established. I think we do that with a lot of these kids. But, you know, I'm also wondering, were we too quick to bury him? I know you can poke holes in the competition or whatever, but the bottom line is the last game and a half, he's played as well as anyone in the country. He's been really, really good. Now, I don't know if that's real or not. We're going to find out, but if you can see, you know, you can make a case he played low-level high school football. He didn't play for 2 years. But it wasn't just the name. I mean, everybody wanted this kid. I think there was a great CBS story this week that Georgia was basically the runner-up to get him. Kirby said he was talking to him all the time. Like, every program wanted this kid. There's some talent there. It wouldn't surprise me if, you know, he just turned the corner at a weird point. I'm not saying he has. I'm just saying you could make the case that he's shown some signs. I know Mississippi State, we talk about the punt return, but they had 2 long touchdown drives that were mostly Arch Manning, too. And then he gets concussed in that game. I haven't seen the data college-wise, but like NFL-wise, when a quarterback comes back from a concussion the next week, their efficiency is way down the next week. They're way worse. And he wasn't against Vanderbilt. He played well against Vanderbilt. Now, I have really concerns about Vanderbilt's secondary. They're not necessarily great, but he tore them up more than anyone has. So it really comes down to me, do you believe in Arch Manning or not? And I don't know if I don't have the answer to that. So I'm just going to sit this one out, excited to watch it, but the number's right where I think it should be.
And defensive Kip too. I think some writers and poll sitters defend themselves by saying, listen, they've lost two games yet to obviously a team that's really, really good and a team that who knows from week to week if they're going to be playing Kentucky or someone else, and that being Florida. But when you look at Texas, I think a lot of people want to save face. They had a preseason number one, and so they want to continue to kind of keep them up there as far as they possibly can so they don't look like a total idiot like they perhaps did with Penn State and another crew called Clemson, who's got another interesting game this weekend. Kyle, I want to get your thoughts because just my boy just texted me a few minutes ago. He's like, Clemson's not at home this weekend, so I think he's coming in. We're going to go watch High Point and UAB later on tonight. That should be fun after they lost to Alabama State earlier this week. But Clemson playing at Louisville, another team that we've been on, we've been off, and Louisville's actually only a 2.5-point favorite against Clemson this weekend. Earlier in the season, that looked like it's going to be a humdrummer game. Now it's just kind of a safe face game for the Clemson Tigers.
That money line is just off to me because it's 2.5, but the money line I saw this morning was -125. That doesn't make sense to me far as that is. I thought the line would be at least -35 on the money line. I did play Louisville on the money line. It seems like a sucker square public bet to me, but I like Louisville. I think they're a better team. Just point blank. And I'm going to go backwards and disagree just a little bit that Arch tore up Vandy's secondary. I mean, he threw for 300 yards, but 75 yards of it was the first play on a screen pass.
Yeah, on a slant. 10-yard slant, and they took it to the house. Wingo route ran the whole Vanderbilt defense. I'm glad you brought that up.
I saw something on it was probably like Stephen A. Smith or something because he's somebody that pointed this out. They said he had over 150 of his passing yards against Vandy were screen plays. I mean, I can throw those.
Can you?
Well, you take out the screen and he still threw for 8 yards per attempt. That's pretty high. I just did the math.
That is.
Yeah, that's still pretty good. You still have to run with the football, too.
I would like to see that there's that game tonight and the other one. You know, I've seen a lot of people on Oregon already. Giving
25
points to Minnesota tonight.
Hey, since you bring that up, let's run around the horn here real quick. Let's start we're going to start with you, Kai. Give me some games you're really liking. We can start with tonight, whatever you want to go with. But we got the Oregon game later on tonight, a couple of Friday night games, then give me some stuff for Saturday.
I can't give 25 points with Oregon, although they'll probably go win 42-0. I can't give it right now. The way they've been playing offensively has been ugly, whether they've played halfway decent teams or not. Which I really don't think they have in the last 3 weeks been worth a flip. So I can't give that. I mean, like I said, I like Louisville, but the more I mean, it seems like a sucker bet to me taking that. And then I'm with Case. I love Notre Dame this weekend, and the way some of these lines are right now. I mean, I've pulled off of a lot of games. I mean, I also like UConn to go over their team total against Air Force. It was 34.5, I think it's 35 now. Virginia and Duke, I think, score a lot of points. I like Indiana, believe it or not, over their team total against Wisconsin, although Wisconsin has been playing better. I just think Indiana, I think they need to score a lot of points. You know, I like Alabama over their team total for the game and the half. I like Arkansas and LSU to score a lot of points. That's pretty much it, Tennessee and New Mexico. I think New Mexico State's actually going to score some points also. I would look at that to go over 61.5, but I think Tennessee will score 56.
One of the reasons that Oregon game maybe is as high as it is, Minnesota 1-6 against the spread this year.
They're awful.
They're awful, but they're 6-3. So you look at, I mean, just as a hoo-ha comes in and goes, wait a minute, you got a 6-3 team, they're catching 26 points? What the hell? Maybe that's because they're 1-6 against the spread. Case, let's go ahead and give me some of your games. I know games change throughout the week, some line movement as well. What's some things that's peeking up to you here for tonight and all weekend? And then we'll get to some Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not on it.
Go ahead.
I'm not on it because I can't bet Minnesota, but I feel like it's gone under. I don't hear anyone talk about it. And actually, Oregon is more beat up than anyone in the country. I mean, I was down on this team coming into the year as they lost their number one receiver, Evan Stewart. Then if you go back early in the year, I was just – I think DeCorian Moore has been the most electric freshman position player in the country. Now he's hurt. They have another receiver hurt. They have offensive linemen hurt. I don't feel like this is the week it catches up to them against the Gophers, who aren't very good, but they still got Washington and USC after this. I've said it all year. I thought they'd lose one of those games. Now you look at their injury situation. I think some things are really trending in the wrong direction there. Another one where hopefully you listen to me, Tuesday, because I really liked Clemson in this Louisville game, but I bet 3.5. You still could have gotten 3 all the way till now at 2.5. I would have to lay off. I mean, there's, I guess, with Kai's report, there's a big split of where you're looking at money line wise, because here in Vegas, you could still get Louisville or Clemson, excuse me, +120 on the money line. I would take that every day over taking a +2.5, but there just might not be anything to do there right now. I mean, that's with the movement. So hopefully you listen to me Tuesday. I know I'm like kind of gung ho about all this line movement. I wish we would have kept track of all the times it's mattered this year, because those key numbers really are key.
A lot of
games land right around there. I'm looking at what else I bet. Another one, I said Tuesday, if you got positive Chandler Morris news, to bet Virginia, which luckily I did. I got a 6.5, but that's kind of moved now. Looks like Morris is going to play. Once again, the college football concussion protocol continues to be a joke. I don't feel like anyone's monitoring this stuff. I don't think these guys should be playing again if they get hurt the way Arch and now Morris did, but he's going to play, so I like them. One that's going to kind of probably surprise you with the position I'm on the team. So I've been super high on USC all year. I didn't do the exercise like Kip and do my top 12, but right now USC, if not in the top 12, is right on the fringes.
Yeah,
I really love this team, and I really love their skill position players. However, I get hung up on this every game, because to me it's just a question of, can you match up with their receivers? And it kind of baffles all logic. But like the last 10 years, Iowa year in, year out, has one of the best secondaries in college football. I mean, just look at the NFL guys they've produced, Riley Moss, Cooper DeJean, and they got a couple more this year. I really think Iowa, man for man, can match up with the Jacoby Lanes, the Mekhi Lemons. I think they have a chance against USC's pass game. So this is one where on Tuesday I wouldn't have had a bet. I said I have to wait and see if it gets to 7. Well, it's gotten to 7. So that's the latest bet I made. I took +7 with Iowa there. I guess we kind of have a Big Ten theme. So this is on my sheet right next to it. Oh, this one, of course, moved too. Although maybe you could still get a 7. I laid the 7 with Penn State at Michigan State. I think Gronkenmeyer's gotten way better. He looked totally outmatched when he first came in for Drew Aller. But, it's 6 out of 8 quarters against Ohio State and Indiana that they held their own, probably deserved to beat Indiana. I know there's a lot of talk about, like, Penn State's a disaster. Guys are sitting out. They don't want to play. They want to go get their next NIL deal. But it's not like everything's rosy at Michigan State. There's a lot of talk that Jonathan Smith's going to be forced out of town. They have no talent, so I don't mind laying it with Penn State there. So Penn State and Iowa, two Big Ten teams I'm circling the wagons with this week.
Kip, some things that are popping out at you. We got Mississippi State going to Mizzou. We mentioned that game. South Carolina A&M, Arkansas LSU, which should be interesting to be watching. We obviously talked about Alabama, Oklahoma. What are some games that are really popping out to you? And I know you mentioned the Big Ten earlier in the week, but what you got?
Two intriguing storylines to me. One, I don't know if it's been confirmed, but I saw a breaking news report late last night that Lenora Sellers has announced that he's opting out of the rest of the season for South Carolina. I don't know if that's true or not, but if it is, I don't know if 19.5 is enough for them with playing some mystery quarterback going down, because Sellers has been like their only line of defense. So I don't know if that's true or not. That game was not on my list, but that was a major item that came across last night, that he was going to opt out the last couple of games of the season with the intent of transferring. So we'll see if that's true. And supposedly already being courted by Miami, who's got to replace Carson Beck at the end of the year. So I don't know if that's accurate or not. If it is, I don't like South Carolina's chances, no matter how many points they give them. Ole Miss and Florida, too. What an interesting time for those two teams to convene in Oxford. The Lane Kiffin beauty pageant. What's going to be the mindset? Florida's got so many blue chip players that just had no interest in playing last week at Kentucky. It was probably the worst pick of many bad picks of my entire prognostication career. I thought Florida, just from a personnel standpoint, much better than Kentucky, and that's obvious. But I've never seen a team so indifferent and completely not interested in playing a game. The interim staff under Billy Gonzalez really distinguished themselves as having absolutely no control of this outfit. If they go in with that same attitude against Ole Miss, they're going to get absolutely slaughtered.
Did you see the press conference, Kip, where they asked Billy Gonzalez if Lane Kiffin would be a good fit at Florida yesterday?
They did ask him that? Wow, yeah. What do you say?
He basically was like, I don't think I should answer that question.
Oh, and well, yeah. Good for Miller.
He's like, oh, but he's a good coach, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, what idiot media personnel would ask that question?
Yeah, of that poor guy. I mean, he's just a placeholder. He's not going to get the job, but he's a Florida loyalist.
You wanted to hear the answer, though, didn't you?
That's crazy.
And that's why they asked the question.
Yeah,
Kiffin, I mean, Kiffin would have answered.
Kiffin would have had some answer. Case has to like that Kiffin three times now in the last 2 weeks has said, we got the wrong people making up this playoff committee. It should be done in Las Vegas. They're the only people that really know how good the teams are. So there you go, Case, a feather in your cap.
I hadn't heard that, but it's funny that he would choose this year to do it because the betting market's lower on Ole Miss, I feel like, than the pollsters. So in past years, I feel like he would have wanted that. But this year, he needs to be careful what he wishes for.
Yeah, because he said it three different times. Now we've got the wrong people making these decisions. And I've got to say my quote of the week. Although this guy basically he didn't get fired, but he got suspended by Baylor. So Mac Rhodes, in case you missed it, is not the chairman of the playoff committee anymore. He's off the playoff committee because he's suspended at Baylor for unchristian acts in a couple of recent incidents. One of those when he came to the sidelines last week and got in a player's face during the game for wearing the wrong colored undershirt under his uniform. And another thing off the field that they're not divulging. Anyway, Mac Rhodes is out. After he distinguished this playoff committee this week with the great statement why Indiana was still ahead of Texas A&M, he said, well, we're really impressed with this team, and you got to give them credit. They found a way to find a way to win. They found a way to find a way to win to a team that's tied for last with Purdue in the Big Ten, who's 0-6, lost six straight games. So good, Mac. They found a way to find a way to win. That sums up the playoff committee in just one simple phrase of just sheer ineptitude. Anyway, back to Ole Miss, Florida. I think it's really amazing that so many blue chip players at Florida will probably be ready to run for the door at the end of the year. But the one wild card in that, if Lane Kiffin gets that job, I think the overwhelming majority of them stay. So this is a real interesting display here in Oxford. Ole Miss seemingly is pretty well in, although a loss to Florida could put them in a bad spot. I don't think they're going to lose two in a row and lose to Mississippi State, but that game is in Starkville, so who knows. But I think Ole Miss is either going to pulverize Florida, or maybe this team is going to flip the switch and decide to come and play this game. And if that's the case, Florida can stay within 11.5 or 12 of Ole Miss if their players decide they're going to play. And Lagway pulls his head out. Two terrible interceptions early in that game. I don't know what you guys think. I just don't think he's been 100% all year. I don't think he's ever really recovered physically because there's just been something wrong there. I really don't cite this game with a strong opinion, but I will say that I don't think this interim staff and the Florida team is really engaged now. So I think Ole Miss will win this game going away because I just don't think Florida's into it. But psychologically, it's fascinating. Real quick, I'll just rattle down the rest of my list. Boston College sucks, but they've been kind of a pain in the ass at home. They covered against Notre Dame. All the pressure's on Georgia Tech because they cannot lose this game. The door was open for them to get to the ACC championship game. I think they need to get there. I've seen Tech on the road at North Carolina State last week get beat up by a decent team, but not a great team. And also, I mentioned on Tuesday, they had to fight from way back to beat Wake Forest on the road. I don't really like this team. They didn't make a resounding effort at Colorado either. I think Boston College getting 16.5 at home, I don't think they're a very good team, but I'm taking them. I've already mentioned Northwestern. I don't think Michigan is deserving to be a double-digit favorite on the road in that game. Let's see real quick. I just mentioned Wake Forest. They're playing the Fighting Belichicks, who barely survived Stanford in Tar Heel land last week. I think Wake Forest is maybe a little underappreciated. They're pretty good at home. I like them to beat North Carolina handily. Baylor's catching a lot of points. Utah's kind of a darling team right now, and they're playing well. But Baylor getting a lot of home. They've still got an explosive offense. I like them to stay within the number. And, Tony, you'll like this one. The Cincinnati Bearcats back home against Arizona, a team that I'm not very impressed with. I think Cincinnati covers the 6.5. I think they're better than advertised. A lot of people not really giving them the credit they deserve. And my final one, I think the most pissed off team in the country has got to be Washington. They go across the country, freeze their ass off, and lose to Wisconsin. I think poor Purdue is just in line for a major ass whooping in the great Northwest. I like the Washington Huskies.
You may be onto something there. The Cincinnati Bearcats 7-2 on the season. You mentioned the 6.5, Arizona 6-3. I've been on South Florida all year long. We know what they did the first couple of games of the season. Then they kind of got set right against Miami and kind of said, nah, you don't belong here. They do belong. Right now, they're probably in the playoffs, and they're playing Navy against. Listen, I love it for the academies because I'm always rooting for the academies, but you see this with the academies all the time. They run off 5, 6, 7 games in a row. They haven't played anybody. Navy's out there now, scored 80-27 their last two games. They're 1-7 against the spread. I think South Florida will just absolutely hammer Navy again this weekend. I love them minus the 10 points. Notre Dame minus 12.5 against Pitt, a pair of 7-2 teams. That line's moving in the right direction. I like Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish. I think they went out, make it to the playoffs. You mentioned Lenore Sellers. I'm trying to find some information. I got a friend of mine that's actually going to school at South Carolina. They believe he will play, but he is going to go into the transfer portal. But he's got to get some play. Listen, you're leaving a team that what is 3-6? You know, his stock's not particularly good right now. And he was the one guy that a lot of people were kind of hanging their hat on in South Carolina. At least I was, and thinking that perhaps if they even made the playoffs, they were one game from making it last year, it was going to be because of Lenore Sellers. And he was
another Heisman candidate. All the Heisman candidates failed miserably this year. Amazing.
Lenore Sellers has the traits and exceptional talent. Is he a fit for the Raiders? That's the last article I saw in the 2026 draft. Oh. He is not going to the Raiders in the 26th draft. First of all, the Raiders aren't going to have him. And second of all, he needs to go back to school, my friend. Go back and get yourself a degree. But I do think 19.5 is entirely too many. If, in fact, he plays, I actually took them on the show, South Carolina plus 19.5. It's still an SEC squad.
Yeah, it's too many.
I think they've been within 19.5 of every game they played so far. I'm leaning towards Alabama. If I go, I love to play. I love to bet on games that I'm actually sitting there watching. And if I can get it under 7. And then the last game I looked at, I'm trying to find. Sometimes you just don't feel like you get enough on. But I was looking at, you know, you guys are really good at this, finding really shitty teams and betting against them. I think most people look at really good teams and bet on them, as opposed to good bettors like you guys and looking for really bad teams and betting against them. 17, 42, 32, 28, 22, 66. That's what Oklahoma State has lost by this year. This is a horrible football team. They're 1-8 against the spread. And here comes K-State, who just got their ass pounded against Texas Tech, who's a really good football team. And now all of a sudden they come in and they're only giving up, what, about 17, 18 points this particular game. Oklahoma State has mailed it in. They're done. They might as well be 21-0 in the first quarter. I like K-State. I haven't been on them all year long, but I like K-State to get it done. Oklahoma State, not good. Not good at all. 1-8 against the spread again. And they're not only getting beat, they're getting pounded. I mean, they're getting hammered every single week. So I'll give it the points to K-State. I think it's 19.5, actually, is the line I'm looking at right now. So I'll take that as well. And then again, I'm looking at that Wisconsin over in the first half, over a half. Has that moved at all? I was looking at it.
A half a point.
I always think lines like that are funny, but if I could get Wisconsin anything but a goose egg in the first half this weekend, I may jump on that just to have some fun with it, because they're catching 29.5 against Indiana. Indiana's the real deal, man. As far as in their point spreads, I think they're 6-3 against the spread. So that is another game that I'm looking at. Let's get into the National Football League. I want to get into it a little early because this is the Friday show. A really interesting game coming up, and again, another fantastic weekend of games. And I want to start with the Kansas City Chiefs. The last time the Kansas City Chiefs were at 500 or under 10 games into the season, do you know what year it was?
2017?
That'd be 2015, the last time the Kansas City Chiefs were at 500 or low. They're 5-4 right now. And here's the crazy thing, and you'll love this being in Vegas. Right now, they're odds on to win the Super Bowl, and they're not even in the playoffs. They're in the hunt. They don't even have a playoff spot right now, and they're sitting there at 5-1 to win the Super Bowl. So I don't know what that means. Can you tell me? I mean, I know that they're – you always wonder, there's no safe bet, because if you lose, it's not a safe bet. But how in the world could the team be in 5-4? They're 1-3 on the road. They're going on the road this weekend. They're giving up points. Why in the hell would I play Kansas City?
Yeah, it's interesting, because the last few years, and I've certainly been this, that they've the last few years during the regular season, they haven't been that good, and they've just found crazy ways to win. I mean, like the Raiders game last year comes to mind, where they botched the snap, the first team in 100 years of football to do that. They had a Denver miss a game-winning field goal. They just had all these crazy things happen when on a per-play basis, they were not that good, and they were just finding ways to win. And, you know, I think this is a central disagreement that we probably have a lot in why we see things differently. I think it's great. We can celebrate. The polls and stuff can be ranked on your ability to find a way in these close games. But the bottom line is, we have hundreds of years. We have like 100 years of data. It's not predictive going forward. It's much more predictive if you absolutely bury teams, even if they're bad teams. It means a lot more than just, you know, having these fluky, crazy things go against you. And it's part of football. I'm not saying it should be minimized, but from a predictive sense, they really weren't as good as their reputation the last couple years. And now this year, it has completely flipped. They're absolutely bare. You know, I know they started slow the first 2 weeks. From week three on, they're absolutely burying teams on a per play basis. I mean, they're gaining on any given play, they're winning by 2 yards, which is just insane. But, you know, it's still the nature of the NFL. You're going to get in these close games. And now all of a sudden we see the breaks go against them. I mean, the Jacksonville loss was insane. Even the Bills game was close. I'm trying to think of the specifics, but all those kind of in-game bounces have gone against them. But you know, you've seen the market realize that, you know, on a per play basis, they've been way better. They're healthy for once. Yeah. They have their full complement of receivers for the first time in forever. And in a year where everyone's kind of losing, everyone looks bunched together. I think there's some priors in there, just what we've seen them do year after year, that they are the favorite. They're not like super high above everyone else, but I just think it's a lot of different factors, you know, the health and how good they've been since week three that makes them the favorite. Yeah, this week going to Denver. Denver's really beaten up. Looks like the reigning defensive player of the year, Patrick Surtain, is going to miss another game. They got a few other guys on that defense out. J.K. Dobbins has been huge for them this year. He's not going to play. I laid 3 with Kansas City at open. Now 4 across the board. I mean, like we just talked about how close all the NFL margins are. 4 is enough where I'd honestly have to lay off. I think I might have even taken Denver as a guess in my column. I still think this should be another close game, but I get Kansas City being the favorite. I'm not rushing out to bet any Kansas City stuff right now.
Patrick Mahomes, 13-1 against the Denver Broncos. Are you putting stock into that? I mean, sometimes guys just own teams, man. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, that's a hard stat to stay away off of.
I mean, his team's been better than theirs just about every time they've played.
Well, so. I mean, and he's still one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen, too. So, I mean, we're going to give him that as well. But, yeah, I tell you, and I think, Case, you bring up something really interesting with Worthy and the rest of the guys. They're healthy, and they're getting healthy at a really good time. So you may be looking at that. Why in the world the Denver Broncos catching points? They're 8-2 at home. Bo Nix is having a great season, blah, 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 blah. Well, now you know the reason. Any other thoughts on that game, guys, before we move on to some other NFL games?
Is Pacheco back? Is he playing?
Yes, he is.
See, I think he makes a big difference in that offense, because he's really kind of the grinder guy. And when he's out, they're not as good. And I think he missed last week's game.
Yeah, I think he's been limited in practice, maybe, but I think he's supposed to play.
All right.
What'd you say, Kai?
Wisconsin's first half team total is 2.5 minus 35.
Two and a half, 35. So it's gone.
You gotta have that whole field goal, Tony. Safety won't get it done.
you know what? That is really, really funny that you mentioned that, because it's true. I mean, the only way you can, I mean, what's the difference between a half and 2.5? That'd be a safety. They'd have to get a safety in order to screw that bet up, and that would probably.
But the committee's really impressed with that Indiana defense. So tread lightly.
Yeah, well, I'm not playing it. It's 2.5.
I don't understand that.
Right there, he waited a whole 20 minutes. To dog the committee on Indiana after he did it the first time.
Yep, I know it. I'm being very well behaved today.
And we talked about Kansas City being 5-1. The next 4 teams after that to win the Super Bowl are all playing each other. So we got Bucks, Bills, Cincinnati Steelers, Seahawks, Rams, which is really good, Lions, Eagles. Let's go around the horn and talk to Kip first, talk about some games in National Football League. This is the second week in a row we've actually got some really good matchups. Some weekends we just have really lousy matchups. We got some great matchups this weekend.
Well, in the, and I'm going to say this on the starting lineup this week, in the tradition of the Muhammad Ali Leon Spinks rematch, at what Ali had to have it this evening. I think the Green Bay Packers are the Muhammad Ali of the league this week. They lost two straight games in Lambeau. One of those, excusable, 10-7 against the Eagles. Their offense just can't produce in the red zone. The Panthers' loss was absolutely heinous the week before, but they go on the road now and play the Giants, who ran Daboll, the coach, off this week, fired. I don't know who's taken over in the interim role. Packers are laying 7. I don't like road favorites in the NFL, but I just think the Packers are in a position where this is a team that should be on that list of major contenders for postseason success. And I just think they're in, they have to have this game. They can't lose their third in a row and against the sick Giants. And I'm not sure what Dart's status is, but even if he plays, I just like Green Bay here. A couple other quick ones. In Madrid, Spain, at 9:30 local time, or 8:30 local time here in Birmingham, the Commanders will face off with the Dolphins. I told you guys last week, my NFL handicapping is in tune in one sense. Buffalo poured it all on the field to beat Kansas City the week before. I knew flying to South Florida, it would be, oh, Miami, this is great. We just get to hang out here against the Dolphins. They got the snot knocked out of them last week by Miami. I don't think Miami's a good team, but I know the Commanders are terrible. The Commanders are mailing it in. They're a lousy team. Give me the Dolphins in Madrid, Spain, of all places. Where are they going to play next? Afghanistan? Yeah. It's just unbelievable, this international deal. Real quick, I like the Vikings over the Bears. I still don't think the Bears are legitimate. I told you to start the season, Raheem Morris is the worst hire in many years in the NFL. The Falcons are proving it every week. They've played two competitive games in a row, so that figures to be back home off the jet lag. I don't like them. I think the Panthers bounce back and beat the Falcons. And my last one, I like this Seahawks team. I think the Rams are getting way too much love. I think the Rams have accomplished remarkably above their really their overall talent. But I just have a feeling here, and I'm just going with my gut. I like the Seahawks to kind of shake up the West race, where now everybody's conceding that the Rams are the best team. I'm not taking anything away from the Rams or Matthew Stafford playing on a high level, but I just like the Seahawks getting points against the Rams this week.
By the way, those Packers you were mentioning, I love the ATS, is 5-3 in the season, 3-6 against the spread. It's almost impossible to have a record like that. But for some
reason, can't score in the red zone.
They really can't, but they are 5-3, and I like that play, giving up 7 points on the road. Let's go to Kai. Kai, what you liking there in the National Football League? Real quick, before we move on, Cincinnati, I'm a Cincinnati Bengals fan. I have to bring them up somehow during the 3-6. If somehow, catching 5.5, they can beat the Steelers on the road. If somehow they can beat the Steelers on the road this weekend, it's a 5.5 point line. So who knows in the National Football League? I mean, we've seen it, right? And they can go 4-7, and somehow Burrow's healthy enough to come back by Thanksgiving. Do you play him?
Yeah. I mean, he's the MVP of your team. Why would you not play him? Everybody wants to see him. You're going to sell jerseys. No, you're not going to get in the playoffs. Yada, yada, yada. But you absolutely right. Play him.
Yeah, I'm going to Cincinnati. They're like, we're going to hold out. And I'm like, why? I mean, he's been banged up 50% of the time he's been there. He's going to either get banged up or he's not. So play.
And this is turf toe. This is not a brain surgery. I mean, get over it, Burrow. Come back.
Yeah, well, he's. I will say this. He's a pretty tough ass. But that turf toe, that could be a booger bear. Now I've got a hangnail on my left foot right now, and I'm
hung. But he's been out 6 weeks with turf toe.
Oh, I know. It's crazy. And there's no one that wants to get out there more than he does. Kai, what else you got in the National Football League?
Yeah, I agree with Kip on pretty much all of them. I mean, I won't bet Atlanta or Carolina just because I think it's just two awful teams. I do think Atlanta's playing a lot better, like a lot of those. I think Dallas goes into Vegas even at 3.5, gets to 4.5. I would still take Dallas in that. I just don't like Vegas at all. But I do think that we were talking about earlier, that would be such a Vegas Jamarcus Russell or Raiders Jamarcus Russell thing to do if they were to go
take one ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, jeez. Yeah, it would be. There's no doubt.
Okay, so if you called Pete Carroll and told him Lenoris might be available soon?
Jeez Louise, man. What are you, I mean, what are we talking about here? You didn't, by the way, Case did not write that article. He writes much better articles for the Las Vegas Sun. You can go check him out, lasvegassun.com. Check out their website. He's got some great stuff. Cowboys at Raiders. Listen, you're building a new stadium. You're setting your sights on the future. I don't even know if Pete Carroll's going to be there by the time the stadium's getting done, but you are catching 3 at home. The Raiders are. I know that it's probably a free ticket with every $25 play and a blackjack table right now, but can you tell me what your thoughts on the Cowboys and Raiders, and then tell me what else you like in the National Football League?
Well, you've got one terrible handicap there because the tickets are astronomical. The Cowboys fans are coming to Vegas in droves.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
It's the most expensive ticket in the NFL every week because everybody looks at the schedule and says, oh, we're in Vegas. Yeah. I mean, even the crappy teams bring giant contingents. I took a couple of friends to a game. We were in the nosebleed section. It was like $600 a ticket a couple of years ago.
Yeah, this ticket's big. The Raiders are absolutely terrible. I'm not defending them in any means. You can go to my staff page at Las Vegas Sun. I've been extremely critical of all the terrible decisions they've made. My big thing, though, it's funny to bring up the Sellers things. I've been banging the drum for years ever since they benched Derek Carr that they got to get a young quarterback and develop him. They never do it. That would be typical Raiders if the one they finally do is someone I don't believe in, like Lenora Sellers. All that being said about the Raiders, I thought, and it's gone down to 3, so it's a little different. I thought 3.5 open was a horrendous line. I think the Cowboys defense is like historically bad. There's and the Raiders, as bad as they've been, they lost 10-7 at Denver on a missed field goal last week. They lost a missed extra point to the Bears 2 home games ago. Last home game, they go to overtime with the Jaguars. As bad as the Raiders are, they're in like the fifth tier. They're not like the absolute, they're not like the dregs. I mean, the Titans, they toyed with. I just 3.5 was crazy to me. So I actually bet pretty big on the Raiders plus 3.5 this week. Again, they're terrible, but the Cowboys are not that much better. The Cowboys can score, of course, but defensively, the Raiders don't have a single unit that's as bad as the Cowboys defense. So 3, I would tread lighter, but if you could still get the 3.5, I like the Raiders quite a bit there.
What other games? We mentioned Chiefs Broncos, but the Lions Eagles, which kind of entertaining. You guys mentioned the Seahawks and Rams, a pair of 7-2 teams. I love weekends where we have a lot of 2.5, 3, and 3.5 lines. Any of the lines that are jumping out to you, then we'll move on.
I can't believe the movement on the Seahawks Rams. I guess I can't believe it because everyone loves the Rams. Another thing I wrote about this week, if you want to read it, and I got to tip my cap to them too. They've been way better than I ever thought. I think by most like analytical rankings, you look, they're like the second or third best team in the NFL. But if we totally ditch priors and what we thought of teams coming into the season, the Seahawks have been the best team in the league from the beginning of the year. They're just absolutely trashing people. So I can't believe this, the torrent of money coming in against them this week. I really think this is going to be a close game. I guess I should have waited. I already fired on Seattle plus 3 even money. But just in the span of this segment, I was looking at the updated lines. A couple spots in Vegas now at 3.5. I really wish I waited for the 3.5. I'm tempted to jump back in on Seattle's. I think both these teams have been great. I just don't see a huge difference. I think this is the game to watch. And it's crazy to think one of these two teams won't get a home game in the playoffs. But I think they've both just been tremendous. I think part of it, what it might be, is that we've seen time and time again these last couple of years, Sam Darnold look amazing and then fall flat in these big spots. So the Rams certainly have more established superstars. They've, you know, have that big game experience. But if you've listened to me on the show for the past year or longer than you have, we've been doing it, you know, those things are great, but that they're really not that predictive going forward. I just more look at what's happening this year. And I think Darnold's bound to break that reputation at some point. I love what Seattle's done. So I really like Seattle plus 3.5 and wish I would have been a little more patient to get that.
On the X format and on Twitter at Stancil Q, they're asking for Case's starting lineup plays again. And forgive me because we're moving all over the place. We have so many different things we can gamble on. I'm just loving it. But give me some of your college football plays again, Case, that you gave us on Saturday, the starting lineup. But by the way, you are leading our pack. And if you look at that number, by the way, we're all kicking ass. We're all in the plus land. We're all doing really, really well. At one point, Kip and I think last season, we were 12-1 at one point.
We had about a 7-week period where we were only picking one game each last year. We didn't have the expanded group, but we had a really good streak going of like 18 in a row against the spread at once.
It was unbelievable.
And this year I can't pick. I write down 10 games a week and I have 6 of them right, and I pick three of the other ones for the
start
show.
Start giving out your 10. We'll take $5 bets on each one of them. And then this guy named Kai Gregory comes in from Southern Precision Staffing, and he goes, we're going to pick 7 games. And he goes, well, I want to pick 2 of my own. I'm like, okay, go do whatever you want. He is 9-0. So, I mean, you don't know what you're going to get, and that's why we start K4wins.com. That's why we started this website. That's why we started the show, because we know what the hell we're talking about. Give me some of your plays, Case. I'm going to write them down, too, because I'm all over them, as I am with every one of these plays. But give me some of your starting lineup plays, and give me some of your Saturday plays again, please.
Yeah, I feel bad just to confirm. I looked this week. One of them has moved big since I recorded the segment. Last week, I didn't pick any college games in the starting lineup. I went Jets, Ravens, Packers. I went 2-1. This week, I did have 2 college games. They've both moved. You could probably guess one of them. I think it's the 3rd time I've used them in the segment. They've covered both the first 2 times. But I took Notre Dame. I think they were -11.5 at the time of filming. 12 or 12.5 now. I guess that's still fine. Just try to get it quickly. And the other one, I was surprised. I hadn't looked since I filmed it. Big move, as low as 3.5 now. But I bet TCU +6.5 at BYU. It looks like you can still get 1 4.5. I'm not a big BYU guy. I think the biggest difference where Kip and I were in our top 12 is I definitely wouldn't have had BYU. You got to give them credit. They got that Utah win, but the bottom line is Utah was a 4-point favorite at BYU, lost by 3 with their quarterback on one leg. If they played again with Dampier healthy, I think Utah would smash them. TCU has been maddeningly inconsistent. They look terrible 1 week, including last week at Iowa State. And the next week they look like the team we'd always expect. I think I might have said this on the segment. I think if you get everyone's best day, maybe I'm stubborn, but I think TCU is the second best team in the Big 12 on their best day, or at least up there with Utah. So I took +6.5 with TCU. If you could just try to get a 4. I see a lot of 4s in Vegas. It's even 1 4.5 somewhere on the screen. I hate that it's gone to 3.5, but TCU is the other one I took. And then I went to the NFL. Where I think either Tony or Kip gave this out a second ago, but I laid it with the Vikings for my final starting lineup play. A little bit worried about this one just because I've heard at like 50 people pick this game and I haven't heard one person pick the Bears, but it seems like everything is there for the Vikings to win it. So I took the Vikings -2.5, and I'll leave the rest a mystery. I will say last week on the starting lineup, I went 4-0 with SEC baby. College basketball plays.
So
I felt like I had to do it again, and we don't have the lines obviously yet, but I handicapped the 3 biggest SEC non-conference basketball games this week for the other part of my segment.
Make sure you check out our show 10:30, 11 o'clock every Saturday morning, ABC 3340. Speaking of college hoops right now, Coppin State and Central Michigan are getting after it. That's the thing I love about these tournaments. I mean, it's like, it could be like, we don't have to be playing in Madrid to get college hoops here in the States, baby. I mean, we got college basketball on the air right now, which is fantastic. I absolutely love it. By the way, Coppin State is down by a dozen, 41-29. That's at halftime. We're giving you some score updates here. My UAB Blazers catching 2.5 tonight down at Bartow Arena against a High Point squad that's 3-0. I will just tell you right now, I like Andy. And if you followed Andy the last 6 years at UAB, he starts off slow and he gets better as the season goes. He's got 12 new faces, and I would take High Point all night long. All night long, minus the 2.5 tonight. Yeah, and guess what? High Point's probably going to win their conference this year. They're actually a pretty good team. They're not like a Grand Canyon U, man. This is not one of these things. High Point's a really good basketball team. They got some 7'2" dude. It's unbelievable.
I can never bet a school that I cannot tell you what state it's in. I'm sorry.
I didn't lie in this game, so I can't have an opinion. But High Point's getting a lot of buzz as like one of the really good mid-majors. take it easy with Grand Canyon, though. They moved up to the Mountain West this year, and there's some people I was talking to yesterday. I think they could really make some noise in the Mountain West. Pretty good when program.
When I can start betting on hers in college, I'm in. We're probably not going to have that as well. All right, college hoops. Let's talk some hockey. We always get into that. We had some big games this weekend on the ice. Talk about that a little bit and some college hoops. And this is kind of cleanup time here for our K4wins.com. K4wins.com, Kip and Case, and, of course, Sky. You're the hockey dudes. What you got, man?
Hockey's always tricky. Friday, we only have 4 games. I did bet some stuff, but I will say college basketball. This is like the best Friday we'll have college basketball wise in a while, a ton of games. And I have a very strong opinion on, I think, the biggest one. Weird to say it's a non-conference game, but Arizona versus UCLA at the Intuit Dome tonight. It's moved a little bit in my direction, but I couldn't believe UCLA opened a 3-point dog. I think that's, they've started really slow. They haven't covered in any other three games, but Mick Cronin does this to his teams every year. The guy's a psychopath. He just like hates his team to begin the year, doesn't let them do anything, makes them run down the shot clock. I feel like he'll let them loosen it up a little bit here. I mean, if this game would have happened before Arizona knocked off Florida, there's no doubt in my mind UCLA would be a favorite. For them to be an underdog is pretty wild to me. I think talent-wise, man-for-man, it's pretty close. Arizona has the outstanding freshman, Koa Pete, but UCLA has Donovan Dent, who is getting Player of the Year buzz. They have a little more experienced roster. I know it's not at Pauley, so it's not at their home court, but you know, if you talk to people at UCLA, the home court's kind of diminished over the years anyway. I like UCLA to win outright as an underdog in college basketball tonight.
All right. At Gregory. Okay. Well, that looks like an ML play to me. What else you got in some hockey plays? Kai, I know you always have some interesting questions. You want to get into some hockey?
I'm completely passing on the Friday night hockey. I like one matchup. That's it. I don't like anything. I do like some Saturday, but until I also know who's in goal, that matters. I didn't ever used to look at that. I had no clue what I was doing in hockey. I would go and I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to do. They're minus 280. They got to be better than this other team, you know, 10 years ago when I bet hockey. And, you know, now it's like, oh, okay. Well, the defensive line is out. This goalie's out. This goalie's playing. It sucks. Learned a lot from Kip and Case over the last year in hockey. So nothing there. I just can't. I'm in shock. He likes UCLA over Arizona. I really am. But hey, you know, I've been wrong before.
Yeah, I've been wrong too. I could be wrong, but I put my money where my mouth is. I'm big on UCLA tonight. We'll see.
I haven't bet it. So yeah, if I bet it, I guess I'll bet UCLA.
I got a guy that's got a site right now. We're catching him plus $1.15 on the money line. So, yeah, I'll just go ahead and drop what we got right now, plus the two. And again, that may have a lot to play in that. And that's the other thing that's great about college basketball. There's so many flipping great games all the time. I mean, every time you tune in, there's great games because you can have a team that's like 45th or 50th. They're not even the top 25, and they're just fantastic. They're just fun to watch to get up and down the court. So, all right, anything else you guys got, knuckleheads? Y'all good to go?
I'll give you a hockey game tonight real quick. The Islanders won in Vegas last night. They're playing pretty well. They beat the Devils earlier in the week. But I don't like them flying from Vegas to Minnesota and coming right back tonight. The Wild starting to get it together. They got that good young team. I love Minnesota tonight to beat the Islanders.
All right, there you have it. K4wins.com, K4wins.com. Check out our website. You get all of our plays up there. And, of course, it's all documented. It's all up there. You can see how we've done over the year. We've done fantastic. We'll continue to grow this thing. And special thanks, of course, to Angel's entire crew there from Coastal Digital for having us on every single week. We're on every Tuesday and Friday, 10 o'clock Central Time. And, of course, you can always catch us out on our Tony Curry YouTube page. I'm all over the place. Just check out Tony Curry YouTube page. You can watch the show actually live whenever we're on. And, of course, you can often see it wherever you get your favorite podcast on Audacity and others. So check that out. Have yourself a wonderful weekend, gentlemen. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And go get them. We'll see you on Tuesday.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.